Are you a hacker? If you're not breaking into computer systems, you probably don't think you are. But the hacking mindset is actually useful in other areas as well, areas like finance, law, and politics. Anytime you try to subvert a system's rules to make it work better for you, you're hacking. And if you want to do it to make the system better, check out these five big ideas from A Hacker's Mind: How the Powerful Bend Society's Rules and How to Bend Them Back, by Bruce Schneier. Bruce is a security technologist, a professor at Harvard, a board member of the Electronic Frontiers Foundation, and the author of 12 books and hundreds of articles, essays, and academic papers. Here's Bruce to share five of his big ideas.
We normally think about hacking as something done to computers, but any system of rules can be hacked. Take the tax code as an example. It's not computer code, but it's code. It's a series of rules, of algorithms. It has vulnerabilities. We call them loopholes. It has exploits. We call them tax avoidance strategies. And there is an industry of black hat hackers finding exploitable vulnerabilities. We call them tax attorneys and tax accountants. So what is a hack? Here's my definition: something that the system permits, but is unanticipated and unwanted by the designers. Or here's another definition: a clever, unintended exploitation of a system, which 1, subverts the rules of that system, 2, at the expense of some other part of that system. So this is a subjective term. It encompasses a notion of novelty and cleverness. It's an exploitation or a subversion. Hacks follow the rules of a system, but subvert its goals or intent. And my definition is deliberately very general. It covers hacks against computer systems, of course, but also hacks against social, political, economic systems, like the tax code, or the market economy, or systems of passing laws, or systems of electing legislators and leaders. Now, this is the big idea in my book, A Hacker's Mind. Hacking is how systems are subverted, but also how they evolve. And the hack framework is a useful way to understand and maybe solve problems in some of these broader social systems. So to that end, I have five key insights. 1, hacking is ubiquitous. All systems can be hacked. In my book, I write about hacks against professional sports, consumer reward programs, religious rules, laws passed by governments, all sorts of economic, political, and social processes against our cognitive functions. Even the best thought out sets of rules will be incomplete and inconsistent. They'll have ambiguities. And as long as there are people who want to subvert the goals of a system, there will be hacks. And the stories are so much fun. I'll just give you one. In 1975, a team showed up on the Formula One racetrack with a 6-wheeled car. Everyone thought it was against the rules, but it turned out that the rulebook was silent about the number of wheels a car could have. Frequent flyer programs have been hacked. Remember mileage runs? Our systems of banking and finance have been hacked. Now accounts in the 1970s, hacks against the 2010 Dodd-Frank regulations. Financial exchanges are hacked. Insider trading, front running, high frequency trading. That brings me to my second point. High frequency trading is legal. Right? Point 2, hacks often become normalized. When we think of hacks, we think of them as being quickly blocked by the system designers. And this is true for computer systems, of course, but in my generalization, there's often a longer and less formal process. The hack is discovered, it's used, it becomes more popular, the governing system learns about it, and then they do one of two things. They either change the system to prevent the attack, or they incorporate the hack into the system. Right? They normalize the hack. They make it the new normal. Now, the governing body of Formula One Racing updated their rulebook to prohibit any more than, or any less than, in case you get any ideas, 4 wheels on a car. But many of the things we think are normal started out as hacks. Now, think of hacks on banking and finance. Hedge funds are filled with hacks, and most of them became the new normal. Or think of hacks on our political systems. The filibuster is a hack that was invented by a Roman senator in 60 BCE that has been normalized in the United States Senate. Point three, hacks are most effectively perpetrated by the rich and powerful. We normally think of hacking as something a disempowered do against powerful systems. But the NSA is probably the world's most effective hacker. They have the budget, they have the expertise, and for them to do it, it's legal. And it's far more common that the wealthy hack systems to their own advantage. The wealthy are better able to discover hacks because they can devote more resources to the task. They can buy expertise. They're better able to leverage hacks to use them. And their hacks are more likely to become normalized because the wealthy can also influence whoever makes that decision. Right? The rich have better lobbyists. And here you could think about gig economy companies hacking local regulations. Uber, Airbnb, those companies, who are gerrymandering as a hack. Point four, hacking is how systems develop, adapt, and evolve. Now, hacking is about finding novel failure modes. And when they actually work, they have unexpected outcomes. And this can be positive. Hacks are declared either legal or illegal by more general systems. So governing bodies for professional sports, or the tax authorities, or legislatures, governments in general. And systems can evolve in this manner. So in my book, I talk about the many ways observant Druze have hacked our 2,000-year-old body of laws to function in the modern age. And that's an example of system evolution. Now, this process is all easier if there's a single governing body in charge, right? The Formula One racing administrators, or an airline in the face of frequent flyer plan hacks, or Microsoft for hacks against their software. If there's no governing body, we need alternate ways for society to adjudicate hacks. And one of the ones we use a lot is our court system. Courts adjudicate hacks. Judges decide which hacks should be normalized and which should be prohibited. Right? You come up with a novel way of interpreting a law that no one's ever seen before. Someone else says you can't do that. Both go in front of a judge, and the judge decides. And this is how a lot of our systems incorporate beneficial hacks. This is how our legal system adapts to changing circumstances. This is how these systems evolve. And evolution through hacking can be faster and more efficient than through the conventional mechanisms of updating sets of rules. It incorporates the adversary into the system, and harnessed well, hacking accelerates system evolution. All right, point five, computers are accelerating societal hacking. People have been hacking systems for thousands of years, but recently things have changed. Socio-technical systems are increasingly mediating all human interactions, which means computers are part of many human interactions, and those computers can be hacked directly. So hacking computer systems has merged with hacking societal systems. And this affects our systems in many ways. So speed. Technical and societal change is faster when computers do it. So hacking is faster. Scale. The magnitude of these effects are greater, so the impact and potential for harm is greater. And scope. These systems are broader, so the effects are broader. Now, to a lesser extent, the appetite for fixing any of this is at a low. Right? There's a belief that government adjudication of hacks is somehow bad, and a sense of social opprobrium, which acted as a limiting factor, is now basically gone. And AI and robotics will make all of this worse. And I don't mean hacking AI systems the way we hack all computers, but AI as a hacker. AIs will hack our systems in the way that humans do now. Already, machine learning is finding vulnerabilities in computer code. It's not very good at it. It'll get better. But you can imagine the same sort of system being unleashed against the tax code or other systems. Right? Imagine feeding an AI the country's or the world's tax codes and telling it to find useful and profitable hacks. Will it find 10, 100, 1,000? How will that work? So there's a story about Volkswagen. Volkswagen was caught cheating on emission control tests. This is not a computer story. It is a human story. This is a human hack. So the engineers at Volkswagen programmed their engine to recognize an emission control test and behave differently when being tested. This hack remained undiscovered for 10 or so years because it's hard to figure out what computers are doing. You can imagine a computer doing that. You can imagine a feeding some AI system the goal of maximizing engine performance while passing all emission control tests, and it would come up with this hack independently. We might not know about it because we don't know the computer code, but these are the sorts of hacks that will happen. And because goals are always underspecified, AI systems will naturally hack in the way that humans do, but humans realize they do. Now, we need to figure out how to harness hacking for social progress without destroying society in the process. Hacks are increasingly common. They're now the fastest way to modify systems to gain advantage. They're the natural way that humans work, and they're how we improve systems. We need to make our social systems more resilient and agile in response to changing circumstance and to respond to hacking. But hacking is a good thing if properly constrained. So how do we build governing systems that can quickly adjudicate hacks? As we move towards a world of increasing technological change and increasing social change due to technological change, hacking will become more important. Can we develop a framework that can decide when it is useful to prevent or encourage hacking? Can we provide a more democratic hacking environment where everyone has an equal opportunity to hack systems and for those hacks to be normalized instead of one bias towards money and power? These are all things I write about. So that's my book, A Hacker's Mind. It's my pandemic book, and I had a lot of fun writing it. I hope you enjoy reading it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. That was 5 big ideas from A Hacker's Mind, How the Powerful Bend Society's Rules and How to Bend Them Back by Bruce Schneier. You might also like our book bite for The Ransomware Hunting Team, A Band of Misfits' Improbable Crusade to Save the World from Cybercrime by Renee Dudley and Daniel Golden. I'm Rufus Griscom. Have a great day.